بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. In this session, as we are supposed to cover some very important issues concerning our aqeedah, our belief. Therefore, let me just very quickly tell you what is this aqeedah, what is the importance of the aqeedah. This wife, as you see in the handouts, the first thing we need to understand the importance of aqeedah, because if we know the importance of it, then we will be devoting our attention and our time to learn aqeedah. And therefore, regarding the importance of it, I have pointed out three things over there. One is that religions are based on beliefs, on aqaid. The difference between the religions in the world is not through the worship, it's through the aqaid, through the beliefs. If someone claims to be a Christian, right away certain belief comes to our mind that this person claims to be Christian because he believes in these certain things. If that person would come and stand with us in the saf, he makes wudu, he stands in the saf, performs the salah the way we do it, but still we are not going to consider that person a Muslim just because he have come and performed the salah. Still he will remain Christian till he's ready to change his belief, his aqeedah. A Muslim who performs all of his prayers and all the other religious duties, but he believes in the things that those people believe in the way they believe in, he will not be considered Muslim. So the difference between religions is not a'mal really. These are the aqaid that will make the difference between the adiyan and between the religions. And from there we can understand how important aqaid are, beliefs are, that God forbid if someone's aqeedah and belief is not correct, is not according to what we learn from Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person may lose his status as Muslim. There are so many different groups who claim to be believers and we say no, they are not. How come? Same thing, the difference of aqaid. They came up with some beliefs that Quran and ahadith have no room for, and therefore we say they're out of the fold of Islam because their beliefs are different. They may come back and argue with us, we do salah with you people, in fact we may be even doing more than you are doing. That makes no difference if the aqaid are not correct. The second thing, without the proper aqaid, without the proper belief, no good deed is acceptable. Which means, the person will not be getting the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will not be getting the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any of the good deeds that this person will perform if aqa'id and beliefs are not correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about this point in Quran al-Kareem, told us, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, we will take all of their good deeds and will make them like flying dust. So the kuffar, when they're doing good deeds, in akhirah, they are getting nothing for that. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has justice, has adl. These people, they do not believe in Allah, therefore they are not getting it in akhirah, but they will get something for it in this dunya. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا. وَفِّ means to give something wholly, completely. Whoever wants this worldly life and its beauty, نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا, we will give them all of their deeds in this life, which means they will get the benefit of all of their good deeds in this world. وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ, nothing will be reduced of their deeds in this world. They will get the benefit of them in this world. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ. These are the people who will have nothing in akhirah except fire. They wanted dunya, they got the dunya. So, the benefit of these a'mal in akhirah will be only through correct beliefs. There are many ayahs regarding everything that we have been talking about. Aqa'id, beliefs, and especially these aqa'id that we are talking about, Quran talks in detail about these things. Of course, I will be narrating only quoting one or two ayahs about each, so that we can proceed further with our topic and we won't be spending too much time on just few points. But if you open the Quran al-Kareem and the ayahs of the Quran al-Kareem, you will find a lot of references to the same points that we are making. I'm just quoting one or two ayahs. So a'mal will have no benefit regarding akhirah. Yes, regarding this dunya, they want this dunya, we will give them this dunya. But in akhirah they will have nothing. Now it may even be that a person thinks that he will get something in akhirah, or he wants to get something in akhirah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rule is your aqa'id, your beliefs have to be correct in order for you to get anything in akhirah. So if those people's aqa'id and beliefs are not correct, even if their intention is to get the reward in akhirah, they will not, they will only get it here. Because that's the rule of getting any benefit of our a'mal in akhirah, that the person's iman and aqidah has to be correct. Not only this, the amazing part of it is, in akhirah the person will get the reward of his a'mal according to the strength of belief also. Although this is not part of aqa'id when we talk about just aqa'id, but it's something that is worth it understanding at this point, that in akhirah the strength in a'mal will come according to the strength of iman in this world. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us in the hadith that if we spend a mountain of gold, we will not get the reward even as much as the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa jma'in got by spending a handful of wheat. Because their iman was so strong that handful of wheat became so valuable that it carries more value than a mountain of gold from our behalf. It's the difference of our strength of iman and aqidah, strength in our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this, we need to remember, when we talk about beliefs, there is no human being in this world who has no belief. Every person has some belief. There are people who say, we don't care about religions. They have some belief. That by itself is a belief. This is this person's religion really. That he doesn't believe in any of the religions. So what does he believe in? Human beings, when they look at things around them, this is part of our nature. We have certain belief about these things. Whenever we will look around, I look at this building. I know that this building did not come up by itself. So what's my belief now? Who built this building here? Who constructed this property here? There has to be someone. Someone must have worked on it. It's not possible that these lights will be in their proper positions and the pillar will be in the middle and the windows placed in the walls without someone placing them there. Just the dust was flying and then as with the blow of the wind, everything started getting into place. If really a person thinks and feels that this is how it came in place, that is his belief now. So everyone has certain belief in this world. And this is why it's very important for us to correct our beliefs, because belief will be there about everything. If we don't correct it, wrong belief will be there. Wrong understanding of things will be there. When children who have no understanding, villagers who have no clue of what planes are, when they see that light moving up in the skies, they have some belief, some understanding about it. That what is this light? And I see it moving. And every day I see some of those. So every human being has beliefs in this world. If we don't correct our beliefs according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in accordance with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will be carrying some beliefs, but they will be the wrong ones. And with this, then we need to understand, as we see the third point over there, under the category of the importance of beliefs, our understandings, our brain, our minds, they are very limited. And therefore the information they produce is very limited. Not only that they produce, what they produce is very limited, but whatever information we provide them through other senses, and then they try, our brain try to calculate things, and then gives us some understanding of it, even in concluding these things, and giving us the understanding of it, many times our brains make mistakes, and many times they just stop at certain level, that I cannot go beyond this, I don't know what's happening beyond that. They give up. So, our brain, we understand the limitations of it. It will not go beyond certain limits. It has its own limits. All of our senses, they have their limits. So if we just want to use our understanding about these aqaid, these beliefs, then we will always be very limited. And if every person will go according to his limitations, then Islam or a belief religion will not become a universal religion, because every group of people, they are going according to their understandings and their limitations. And all the people from different parts of the world, they have different understanding, and according to their backgrounds and the place that they live in, their atmosphere and everything, they have their own limitations. So accordingly, then beliefs will be different, And the religion that we follow will never be a universal religion. For any religion to be universal, it is must that we have something better than just our senses, better than our brain, our understanding, providing us with the information regarding that religion, regarding the beliefs of it. And that is what we call wahi, revelation. Because that source of information is such that it never makes a mistake. Because it comes from Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. I won't go into details of it at this time because we haven't talked about Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala yet. Right now we are just talking about our sources of information when it comes to belief, that just we need to understand and realize that our brains are not enough to give us all the information about belief. This is for sure. What do we need to do then? We will have to look for some external means of information that will provide us the proper information about everything. And for us as believers, we call that wahy. Because we all see our senses, our brain, when they are providing us with information, most of the time really we are rejecting the information that we get ourselves. We know that it's wrong, but what's right, I don't know. I know that this is not how it is. So then tell me what it is that I don't know. The pilot that is flying that plane and is taking the plane all the way from here to the other part of the world, I know for sure that this pilot has no information when he gets into the space, he has no information of what direction is going through. If he will just have to use his brain, he won't know exactly where to go. So he's using something else there. So now someone comes and challenges me, but then tell me how he's using it. How is he setting it? How does he communicate with it? That I don't know. I have no information about that field. He must have a computer where he sets everything, but how does he set it? What information he has to feed in it? How does he control everything? How does he know that the computer is following the right instructions? That I don't know. That's his field, he knows about it. But my brain goes to certain limit telling me that he won't be able to see what's going down there. He's not following any road or a direction down there. He's following something else. He's getting the information from some other source. What is that? How is that? How does he communicate with it? That I don't know. And a lot of things are there where we have our own limitations. Most of you are here in the computer field. A person like me, when I start working on a software, I just see what's on the screen. I know that just this screen is not calculating everything. There is something behind there that is working and on calculating all of these things and putting all of this information in such a way that it comes in this form as I see it in front of me. How does that work? Can I change it? No, I'm not able to change it. I don't know how to work on that software. I don't know how to even get over there. The computer is in my home. That's my computer. I paid for the software, but really I don't know how to get into the brain of it. I don't know how to get into the programming of it. So I have my limitations there. My understanding will just end after telling me this is not everything. You do whatever you want with this page. It will not change how this program will calculate things. But how to get there, that's my limitation. Now I don't know how to get in there. So all of us, we have our limitations. With all of our abilities, we still have our limitations. If our limitations are within things that we control, we own, we have in our possession, imagine how much limitation then we will have in things that we cannot even touch. Things that we cannot even touch. They are out of our control totally. We see stars every night. We have certain understanding about these stars. But can I bring it a little closer? Or push it a little further away? Or make the star move from that to this place? I would like this beautiful star to be shining on top of my house every night, so I can tell people that when you come to my home, just look at that star, and when you see the star, if you find that the star is exactly on top of a house, that's my home. I am not control over it. So, things that are out of our control, imagine how much limitation we have regarding those things. So then someone has to have control over them. Who has the control over these things? That's the question now. Who has all of that control? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one thing in Quran al-Kareem. وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي مَا إِمْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِيهِ About previous nations. He told us something very important that normally we don't think that it ever existed. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِيمَا إِمْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِيهِ We gave them certain powers that we did not even give you people. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ سَمْعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً And we gave those people hearing, sight, eyesight, and hearts. We gave them these senses. فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُهُمْ وَلَا أَفْئِدَتُهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ Their hearing, their eyesight, their hearts were not of any help to those people. Why? إِذْ كَانُوا يَجْحَدُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ Because they were rejecting these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ And the punishment that they used to make fun of and they used to mock came and got them. Their senses were not enough to tell them that a punishment can come. They were not giving them that information. That if you reject the signs of Allah, a punishment would come. They did not understand that. The ayahs of Allah were telling them, they did not want to believe that. So they didn't use their hearts, their minds, their brain, their hearing and their eyesight for seeing the ayahs of Allah, for hearing the ayahs of Allah and for understanding the ayahs of Allah. They kept their limitations, they stayed just within those limitations. So because they were so limited, they couldn't understand anything beyond that. And therefore, they could never understand how could a punishment come all of a sudden. We have all of the strength, we have this power, we have this technology. Take a simple example of the nation of Thamud. If anyone would have told the nation of Thamud, and as they were informed, the adab of Allah can come at any time. Okay, if the adab comes, what will happen to me? The wind is going to blow so high that it's going to blow up everything in your town. Yeah, but don't you see that my house is inside a mountain? I live inside these mountains. And I have never seen mountains flying out of because of the wind. I have never seen something like this. So even if you tell him, you know, it can happen, Allah has the power for this, for making this to happen, he would say, I don't think so. Walayazu billah. He's staying within those limitations of his own understanding. And then the punishment came. And up to this day, if you happen to go that direction and see those mountains, a lot of these mountains are cut into half. You can up to this day see it. Are cut into half. Some of the rocks are just hanging as it's about to fall. Because of the heavy wind that was blowing and breaking those mountains. You can see that up to this day. But it's something that they couldn't understand that something like this could happen. And they didn't realize that even when they are inside these mountains, they need air to breathe. So wherever they're getting that air from, of course, that wind can get there in there from those places also. But they had their own limitations. Same thing. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that when people stayed within those limitations, they couldn't understand the ayahs of Allah. So this is for sure that we need some other source of information, which we call it wahi, revelation that Allah will give us that information. Now, ending this topic, the first topic, with this understanding now, that if we need external source of information, and the only external source that will be available beyond human's understanding, beyond human's knowledge and intellect, that will be only from the creator of all of these things, which we call it wahi, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the best religion in the world will be the religion that provides the most information regarding human's life about this wahi, through this wahi. That will be the best religion. Because we have our limitations, we don't understand, so we need wahi. And in order for us to follow things in our life, we need that wahi to have the right understanding. So the religion that will give us the most information through the wahi, that will be the best religion. And which religion would be that beside this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is called the Islam, that gives us instructions about each and everything that we need to do in our life. Since these talks are of course for having a better understanding for ourselves, at the same time, because we live in a society where we may be getting a lot of questions from our friends and colleagues, neighbors, about aqaid, about beliefs. So this is why I'm trying to even point out certain things that will help inshallah explaining to those people why this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is important for us and for human beings. And this is sometimes, it comes as a question, I remember some situations where we would present this deen to them as we understand it, and with its full beauty that it covers all different aspects of the life, and right away a question comes into their mind that then your religion is too difficult. Because if it tells you how to eat, how to walk, how to drink, how to, everything in your life, then there are a lot of restrictions in your life, so your religion is too difficult to follow. I can't do it. This is where we can really understand that all the information that we get in our deen is not to make it difficult for people, in fact, to give them the right understanding of it. So if a person is getting all the instructions about how to drive the car, and another person who doesn't want to go and get those driving lessons because he feels it will become too difficult for me to drive after that following all of these instructions, of course he's making a mistake. You should know how everything operates over here. Otherwise, you will use it, but you will be misusing it. You will be pressing the wrong buttons at the wrong time. So learn how to use it. This is what Islam does, gives us the right information about everything. So you have that source of information. So at least you are informed about it. If you don't have the source, you don't use the source of information, you don't even have the information about it that is available for you there. So this is where the beauty of our deen, of this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, that gives us all the information through the wahi about all different parts of life, and we talked about the importance of it and the need of it. Once we realize that there are things that are beyond our control, beyond our understanding, this is every human can understand it. As I told you, you can give any person the simple example that, okay, move that star. As Allah says, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Didn't you see the person who was arguing with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam about his Lord? Just because Allah has given him the kingdom. إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ. He says, I give life and death. Now this person, of course he can never give life and he can never even give death, but he can just call someone and kill the person. Any human being can do that. You can kill any person if you want. But that doesn't mean that you are the one who have assigned his last time of life, his final time of death. We were not the people. It's in the hands of Allah, and Allah only knows when this person would die, and it was in the records of Allah that this person will end up killing the other person, and that will be the last moments of that person's life. How about my life then? How long more I'm going to live after this? I have no information even about myself. A person who has no information about his own life and death, how can he control other people's life and death? But Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't want to argue about this. He said, okay, let's make it easy. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Change the direction of the sun. He didn't know what to say. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. These are the simple things that everyone can understand. That here we have no control over these things. So if we have no control, is it true that no one has control over these things? This is what some people may believe. That no one has control over these things. These things are just going there by themselves. They are just taking place by themselves. And as many people will use the word nature for it. And they call it Mother Nature. That nature is the mother of everything. Which means nature is creating everything. Just like a mother gives birth to a child, nature is giving birth to all of these things that are in existence. In one of these situations when we were talking about it, there was a person. I don't really remember what name he mentioned for his beliefs and the religion that he was following. Anyway, so he came to present that view of Mother Nature, that nature is creating everything. So my question was, when a bird dies in the air, what is the reason that the bird falls on the ground and doesn't stay there, doesn't go further up, will come down on the floor, on the ground? We all know the reason. What's the reason? Now, what is pulling it? We will see, there is that power there. So now, there is between the earth and that bird, there is a lot of space. What is there in between there? The earth is sending something? Is the earth sending something up there that pulls the bird down? What is something? What is there in between? There is some power that is pulling it. Who's sending that power? Is the earth sending it? Or the power is going by itself? One of the two things. Something is going out of this earth that is pulling it. Is it going by itself or the earth is sending it there? And in both ways, you have to believe that something that has no understanding, earth or the space, the air, the wind, whatever we may call it, something that has no understanding, no hearing, no eyesight, no power of seeing anything, that thing is in action now. That thing is working and pulling the bird down. Pulling is an action. That is something no one can reject. Pulling is an action. The bird is being pulled, otherwise it will stay there. The bird is being pulled. Who is pulling the bird? The earth is pulling it. So earth is deaf, dumb, blind. Never seen that bird. Never knows that the bird died. Never knew that the bird was flying because of its wings. And now is not able to move its wings, so let me pull it down. Never knew none of these things, but it pulls it. Amazing. That something that is deaf, dumb and blind, has no understanding, no life, nothing, and will be able to do all of this work at all times, at proper timing. So instead of attributing this to something that has no senses, no life, no understanding, why not to say there is someone who has the proper understanding of everything, He placed that power in the earth so the earth will pull everything, because earth will cannot have that power by itself. It's blind. It doesn't know when to pull. And has no understanding, no brain, so doesn't know how much power it should put there to pull that object. So they will attribute all of this, is just an example. They will attribute all the actions that are happening in the world to things that have no senses whatsoever. Amazing. They have in their mind, they have some understanding of someone there who's doing all of this. Doer has to be there. Earth is doing it. Space is doing it. Something is doing it that they would call it nature. Something is doing it. Someone is doing it. Why do they have to call it nature? They don't know what name to give. They say they call it nature, which simply refers to there is something there. It's out of my control. What is that nature? Something that I don't know really what it is. It's out of my control. So they attribute all of these actions to different things in the world. We say that a human being who's blind, who's deaf, who's not able to speak, who's not able to hear, who's not able, who is even insane, doesn't have no proper understanding, we don't trust even that human being with anything around us. How can we trust that nature that you are talking about running the whole universe? Makes no sense whatsoever. Even in their life, they don't go by these things. So amazing that for running a small house, if someone comes and he says, you know, I heard that you have a daughter and I would like to really, I'm offering to marry your daughter. Or I have a friend really, I would like, I'm proposing for him. So tell me something about your friend. Oh, he has a nice house. Beautiful bungalow that he got from his father. Okay, tell me something more. You know, he's blind. Okay, now tell me one more. He cannot speak. Okay, tell me something else about him. He can't even hear. Okay, tell me something more about him. He's insane. Can't use his brain. But he has a nice bungalow there. What my daughter is going to do in that bungalow with that man? We don't trust our daughters even with that man, regardless of what he has. That bungalow means nothing. How can he run it? Is he looking for a slave, for someone to be taking care of all of his things? Because he's blind, he's deaf, he's dumb, he's insane beyond that. So what can you do now with these things? Subhanallah, if one person cannot be trusted, we cannot trust that person even with one person, that here, my daughter, I won't trust that man for my daughter, would we trust someone like that for the whole universe and for all of us and everything that is running in this universe? Impossible. No one would trust that. Then we better quickly find some other world to go and live in where the mother nature is not working there. Let us not even have houses. We don't want the sun. We don't want the moon. We don't want the star. We don't want water. Nothing. We will manage something. But for that type of person to control all of these things, we are not going to trust it. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we look at His qualities, at the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll realize this is someone who can really run the whole program. All of this is telling us that there is some creator. When we see everything around us, there is someone who created all of these things. If only one watch. A watch cannot come into existence without someone making it. How come this whole universe come into existence without someone creating it? Today, if I would really make a claim and challenge everyone here, look at this watch, no one created this watch. I was standing by the seashore and I saw that there was a piece of metal getting cut. And it started getting cut. started forming a belt. And I started looking at it with full surprise. Look, it became a belt finally, with all of these beautiful designs on it. And then finally I saw it's going further, and in the middle there is something else being created. When I picked it up, it was a perfect watch. This is the watch. Everyone will say something is wrong with this man. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, once he had a debate with some people who did not believe in the existence of God. Same thing, nature created everything, everything came into existence by itself. So he went late for the debate. There was a river that he had to cross between the place where he was going to the place where he was supposed to go. When he got there, he apologized to them for being late. So they said, you're such a great imam and this, and then you're so late. He says, let me tell you the reason and then you tell me if I'm excused or not. When I came over there and I'm waiting to cross the river, waiting for a boat, there was no boat over there. So I said, you know, I have promised you people, so I'll wait anyway. As I'm waiting and I'm waiting for someone to come with a boat, there was a tree standing there next to me. All of a sudden I see the tree getting cut. After the tree was cut into pieces, it became like planks. These planks started getting together and they formed a ship. And then the ship started driving by itself and came and stood in front of me. So when I saw all of this, I sat in it. So I started coming into this direction and came up to the other side and dropped me where I was supposed to come. So I came out of the ship and came to you people. I said, you know, you may be a big imam, but not that big. Of course, we can never believe that all of this can happen by itself for you. So he said, now, is there any reason for us to have a debate? I said, why not? He said, a ship could not become in existence, it could not come into existence by itself. And you are telling me this whole universe came into existence by itself? And you want me to believe that? That's the end of it. So this is something that is very natural, we all understand. And it's something that even those that we feel, they did not believe in Allah. They believed in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمِ. If you ask them who created the heaven and the earth, they will say that the one who is very powerful and knowledgeable, he is the one who created it. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them who created them, they will say, Allah. So even they believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore he asked a question in Quran al-Kareem. He says, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكْ. Amazing. He says, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكْ فَاطِرِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is there any doubt about Allah, who is the creator of this universe, of the heaven and the earth? You can have doubt in anything, but there is no way to doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you see the heaven and the earth at all times. You see the skies. You see the earth. You see everything that's in it. Afillahi shak. Do you still have doubt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Fatiris samawati wal ard. He is the creator of this universe, of the heaven and the earth. This is one way to understand the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing that continuously proves to us the existence of Allah. We had our teacher and a great sheikh, Mufti Mahmud Hassan rahimahullah. Once someone asked him a question about Ataturk. The question was specific and therefore I'm reading it. It's something that is published in his books. The question was, what's your fatwa about Ataturk, because he did not believe in Allah. I'm just reading the question now. Because he did not believe in Allah, he used to look towards the heaven and he used to say, I will kill you. Point his punch towards the heaven, towards the skies, and say, I will kill you. So Mufti Mahmud rahimahullah, he wrote the reply. He said, you told me in your question that he did not believe in Allah, but pointing his hand and punch towards the skies and saying, I would kill you, simply means that he believed in him. His nature is telling him, something within him is telling him that there is someone over there that's out of my control, beyond my control. I can do nothing to him. All I can do is, I just say to him that I will kill you, but I can do nothing to him. So there is someone there. And it's so powerful that I can do nothing to him. This is part of our nature. This is what, when we call it nature, what does it mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses some other word for it in Quran al-Kareem. Can you refer to that ayah? وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمْ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. The ahd, that we call it ahd alast. That covenant that we made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we came into this form that we are in now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, now we can really understand that ayah too. He says, remember when Allah took a covenant from human beings, asking them, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Am I not your Lord? All the human beings said, yes, surely you are our Lord. What is the purpose of that? What did we get out of it? Today, anyone remembers that we said bala? We don't remember. But when we look into our hearts, really that bala is there. That bala, the effect of that we said. We said bala, yes, ya Allah. We believe in it. That thing is there in our heart. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah gives a beautiful example to it. He says, if there is a child who barely can stand, that child standing there, in front of this child there is a man. And behind this man there is another man that is not visible to this child. The man behind throws a stone at this child. Throws a stone at the child. The child looking at the man in front of him and he sees that this man didn't do nothing, no movement. So of course the stone didn't come from him. This child will not think that the stone came by itself because this man didn't do it. And I don't see anyone behind this man. So therefore the stone came by itself. From somewhere, I don't know, but came by itself. The stone decided to move and come and hit me. No, this child will move around to see who's standing behind this man. This is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the human beings that everything that is happening in this universe, there is a doer for all of these things. And he gave all of the living beings that understanding that there is doer behind everything. You throw a stone at a dog. The dog doesn't run behind the stone to bite it. It runs after you. He knows you are the doer of this action. So human beings, they have their understanding. And then when we said bala to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, from there, every human being has that pure nature of knowing that there is someone who created me. There is someone there. My father did not create me. My mother did not create me. If a child is grown in a house where parents throughout the life have been telling the child since his childhood, they're trying to convince him that we created you. No one else had any control over that. The child is not going to believe it. Once he will be at certain age, he will have questions about it. He will not believe it. Very well-known scholar of Islam, Mawlana Shaykh Ali Thanvi rahimahullah, he says about his brother, who was very intelligent too, His brother was in the class where the teacher is trying to convince the students that everything in this universe came into existence by itself. No one created these things. It's not Allah as Muslims believe. And he was especially trying to reject the aqaid of the people of Iman. So he said to him, who created you? He said, I just came into existence. As normally, naturally, everything comes into existence, I came into existence. The teacher was one eye blind. So now the teacher says to him, and to everyone, every Muslim in the class, that you people believe there is Allah. And Allah created everything. So now you tell your Allah to give me that eyesight back that I have lost. I had my eyesight. I lost the eyesight of one of my eyes. Tell your Allah to give me my eyesight back. If really Allah exists. So of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people right understanding. Those who really believe in Him, He gives them the right understanding at the right time. It's not our intelligence really. It's the Rahmah and the mercy of Allah that shows us that He is there. His Nusra is there. So he raised his hands and started making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he finished making the dua, of course, his eyesight was not back. So now what? He says to him, sir, I was praying to God, and you know what God told me? God told me that when he was born, I gave him both of his eyesight. But because he rejected me, I took one away from him. And now tell him that if you just came into existence by itself and it's through your parents, tell your parents to give you that eyesight back. If they created you really, they brought you into existence, then tell them to give you that one only eyesight back. I took it away because you rejected me. He had no answer to it. So, existence of Allah, of course, is through His actions and through everything that is taking place in the universe. At the same time, there is something also within our nature. Before I go further, let me just now remind you, I hope that you understood the ayah, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَلُوْ بَلَىٰ, and the effect of that ahad. Many times when we read that ayah, we don't understand, so what? Why? What's the benefit for me to know this? And what is the benefit for me to, for human beings that they were taking that covenant at that time? It's in every person's understanding in aqidah that there is someone, there is a power there. As they may call it, supernatural power. That we, out of our control, that's doing everything. Number two. There is something else in our nature that is telling us that there is someone over there. There is someone who's powerful, who has control over everything. And that is when human beings, they look at themselves, any human being, regardless of that person's wealth, strength, power, position, whatever that person may have. It is in our nature to see our weaknesses and realize that we have weaknesses. I have no control over my health. I don't know what time I will be healthy, what time I will lose this health. I don't really know at what time I will have to run to the bathroom. No control over it. I don't know at what time I will be so hungry that I will have to stop doing everything that I'm doing and I will have to just go and eat something. What time I will get so thirsty that I won't be able to manage my life and doing anything with it until I drink something. At what time I will be so tired that I will have to lay down and have some rest before I can continue doing anything else. These are our weaknesses. If we are so weak, then of course this tells us that there is someone who has control over all of these things. Someone that has control over our lives, as one of the scholars says, عرفت ربي بفسخ العزائم. I recognized my Lord through one thing, and that was when he breaks my plans. I have a firm plan. Tomorrow I will go to that person's home. I will go and visit that person. In the morning it started raining so heavy that you couldn't leave your home. Or you were so sleepy that you could not wake up. You were so tired, in spite of being up, you don't have the energy to walk out. Who's breaking these firm plans of human beings? Every time we make our plans, there is someone who's breaking our plans. So someone is more powerful than us. No matter what they call it, there is someone over there that is having that power, that is controlling everything. And when we make that firm plan, that no one around us that we know of will be able to disturb the plan. Our family members, they can never come in our way. Friends, relatives, work, nothing can come in my way. It's such a firm plan. All of a sudden, next day you find out the person wasn't able to do it. Our nature is telling us that there is someone who is controlling everything, who has power over everything, all of your situations. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem tells us to ponder into our souls. This is not only many times when we look at that ayah of Quran al-Kareem that says ponder into your soul. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Don't you ponder within your soul? We feel that the ayah is referring to or medically start looking at your body and how complicated all the system is and how everything is functioning. Not necessarily. This is even a villager who has no understanding of anything in his life can just ponder into these things of his life and realize there is someone else over there. When I look into my soul, I realize that I don't control myself. I have no control over my situation, my health, my timing, nothing in my life. Someone else is controlling it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us by changing everything, changing our plans, changing the weather, changing the atmosphere, changing the situations, is proving to us there is someone else who has this power over everything in your life, something that you have no power over. So all of these things are telling us that there is someone there, and of course that is what we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now if someone is there, who created me, who created this universe, who created everything around us, who created everything for us, so it will be very interesting for us to know, who is that? Someone is there. Who is that? How do I know him now? Someone created me for sure. Someone created this universe for sure. Someone is running everything in this universe for sure. Who is that? That is something that I need to know, I need to learn about, inshallah, after Dhuhr when we continue. I think we will postpone that, the next one a little bit, and we'll continue, we'll try to finish this one before we go to the next one, inshallah. So we will try to learn, then who is that who created us? How do we know him? How do we recognize him? And how can really we connect ourselves strongly, more strongly to him? Because he created me, he created everything around me, so I want to really know about him, and then I want to be connected to him also. Inshallah, we'll go into that in our next session. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.